Moncrief on News Talk.
The new thing is called FAFO, F around and find out, and it's an approach to parenting. Gone is the old nurturing and gentle encouragement. Now you just sling the kids in the deep end of the pool and then go outside to have a cigarette. Fans of it say it not only teaches resilience, but could save society from the woke mind virus. We're joined by the child psychologist Richard Hogan. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon, Sean.
There is, and you can see the temptation of it in the sense that people might think that things have gone a bit too much the other way, and that we're too gentle with children.
Did you say might have gone the other way, Sean?
Yeah.
I think perhaps it has absolutely gone the other way. And it's not about throwing them in the pool. It's about kind of having a neutral consequences for children, because everything in an adolescent brain particularly is designed for that child to explore the world, to adventure, to make mistakes. The prefrontal control systems of the brain go second, develop later than the reward center. So evolution wants our children to go out there and explore the world. It doesn't want parents to micromanage and to fix everything, because you don't learn when that's happening for you as a child and developing through your maturation. So I think we do need to probably correct it a little bit.
Yeah. The FAFO parenting, I mean, it seems to be big on social media and seems quite performative in that, you know, you'll have a 5-year-old saying, I want to leave home, and then his mother will stick him outside the front door until he's bawling his eyes out, begging to come back in. That's been too much.
I think that might be going a bit too far. I mean, that's probably TikTok parenting more than anything else. But our children do have to experience the world, and they do age appropriate. Obviously, a 5-year-old hasn't got the cognition to understand any of that stuff. But as they're growing up and they're developing, you know, they do need to develop their critical skills and critical literacy so that they can analyze things and understand there's consequences for all behaviors. And when you choose behaviors, sometimes there's no one around to fix it for you. So you have to learn to be resourceful and fix it for yourself.
Yeah. And no matter what style of parenting you might say you have, you still need to set boundaries for them.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm always saying, Sean. Boundaries are the cornerstone of a child's life. You know, I talk every evening and talking to parents, and I often hear parents saying to me that they're their child's best friend. And like, well, as a best friend, you can't have boundaries, because a best friend doesn't say, you know, brush your teeth or go to bed or stop eating that. Parents, you have to have your boundaries. And actually, it decreases a child's sense of anxiety, because it teaches them how to the do's and don'ts of the world. It would be like playing, when you don't have boundaries in the family, it's like playing tennis without a net. That's anxiety provoking, because you don't know what the rules are. And so kids absolutely crave that. That's what sets them up into healthy lives as they move into adulthood.
Yeah. Now, learning consequences, though, I mean, especially when they're younger, is it up to the parent to explain that's why this happened?
Absolutely. You know, a kid throws a tantrum, let's say, in the younger years at the till, because they know that's the nuclear option. You know, everyone's around and it's the most attention you can bring to the situation. So a parent might go, OK, you can get the magazine just to get them quiet. And I would say never give in on that. Explain why they didn't later on, explain why they didn't get the magazine, and then explain why a further punishment came in, because they caused, you know, their behavior was out of line. And so you're trying to, as parents, always when a child's cognition calms down, it's when you're trying to explain to them what has happened and why it's happened. When they're in the midst of an emotional surge there, you know, you're just trying to calm that down so that they can regulate themselves. But ultimately, when they're calm and your cognition is quiet, that's when you explain, you know, when that behavior that you did there, that's why this happened.
Yeah. Can that happen at any age? Or like when they're toddlers, can you really make much sense to them?
I have a few tantrums myself from time to time, Sean. So I think it can happen at any age.
No, I mean wait until the tantrum's over and then explain to them, you know, what actually happened
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
But can you explain that to a 2-year-old?
To a 2-year-old is different now.
Yeah.
The cognition is very unsophisticated. But I'm saying as they're moving up in their years, I mean, a 2-year-old, parents will often say to me, a 2-year-old doesn't like to share. And I say, yeah, well, they don't understand that concept just yet. Their brain isn't developed just yet. And so it's age appropriate stuff. As they're moving into the 3s and the 4s, that's where their brain is developing a bit more to explain some of the stuff. And we have to kind of relax about it when they're 2, because they're so young that, you know, to expect them to understand why they should share or why they're not sharing. I think it's probably too early just yet.
Yeah. There may be people listening, Richard, who are like, no, I'm permissive and I'm gentle. And can you reach a point if you do that where you've actually permanently damaged your children as they move into adulthood?
Well, here's the thing, Sean, right? No one talks about this. But we should all be probably driven by this idea that we want to make children that people like and children that are likable, you know, and children that can go out from the world and create good social, strong social bonds. And if you're permissive and you're constantly giving your child the worldview that things will shape around them, you're creating an unrealistic expectation of the world, and they might find it difficult to compromise in life, and they might be very difficult to get into a relationship with, and the person that goes into a relationship with them might have to reparent them again because they have the belief that they should get whatever they want, and that's not how relationships go, that's not how life goes, and that's not how, you know, things work for all of us. And so we have to learn how to compromise, and we have to learn that we don't get everything. And I think that's when you're too permissive. You know, the child that gets everything, I always say, enjoys nothing. It's that Patrick Kavanagh, through a chink too wide, there comes no wonder. And if a child has no wonder in the world, they have no joy. And you're trying to get your children to have joy and the capacity for joy. And permissive is never a place to be. You know what happens with a permissive child? It becomes an inverted hierarchy in adolescence and then a difficult adult. And that's setting them up for failure in life.
Yeah. Richard, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was the child psychotherapist Richard Hogan there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.